Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning, friends, as we gather together in this place to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just want to share a few of announcements with you all. First of all, just want to take this opportunity to wish all of you fathers out there happy Father's Day. Give thanks for all of our fathers and give thanks for all of those who serve as our fathers, who have been fathers to us, fathers that we needed in times when we need direction and need someone to point us in the right direction, and those whose strength and courage have inspired us. We give God thanks for all of the fathers and all of those who have served fathers, as fathers for us. So happy Father's Day today. Just want to apprise you of some things coming up here. One thing in particular, Vacation Bible School, which is coming up rapidly up on us, will be on July the 29th, 30 through the 31st. So please, again, mark that on your calendars. And please plan to join us, either join us as a volunteer or come just to be a part of that opportunity that we have to touch base and positively influence some of the children in this community. So again, that is going to be in July. Many of you are probably aware that we didn't have our church picnic yesterday because of the rain. But that doesn't mean that we won't have opportunities to come together and to enjoy barbecue. We will probably do that sometime in the summer. Maybe we'll barbecue some hot dogs and hamburgers out in the back lawn and have an opportunity to enjoy some barbecue then. So please be on the lookout for that. But there are other things happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time to read your bulletin thoroughly and go to our webpage so you can stay abreast of all the things that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. At this time, I'm going to ask Noel to come forward to do our scripture reading. I asked if he would do that for me this morning. I wanted to break him in before he gets going to back to Africa. So he's going to read real loud for us.
Romans 5, verse 1 to 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obedient access to this grace in which we stand, and we have boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God loves us. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you for that reading, Noel. We're reminded that whenever there's children, there's hope. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about this morning, is hope. Someone once pointed out that we human beings can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but we can only live a few seconds without hope. We need hope. Hope is what helps to make us human. And as human beings, we need desperately to believe that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And without hope, we perish. Edwina Gatley tells the story of the International Congress of Demons that come together every so often to assess the state of the world. At a recent gathering, the chief demon, the archfiend, the devil himself, addressed the assembly and counseled all the demons to allow humanity to do whatever they want, even to love one another and to be kind and generous. But the devil declared, even as humans do good deeds, you must ensure that the light of hope dies in their eyes. When that happens, then we know that we have them. I was reading a review of a recent book entitled 17 Fathoms Deep. It's the story about a Navy submarine called the S-4 that sank off the coast of Cape Bay in 1927 after colliding with another vessel. And as the divers worked frantically to rescue the 6 crew members who had survived the initial collision, they kept hearing the crew members tapping out in Morse code, "Is there any hope? Is there any hope?" I think that's what a lot of people are asking today. I was listening not long ago to one of my favorite journalists who was giving a speech at a prominent bookstore in Washington, D.C., and he was promoting a book that he had just written, and in his speech he was painting a very dark and bleak picture of the current situation. But after his speech, one man got up and asked, "But where's the hope? You painted a bleak picture, but you didn't give us any hope. Where's the hope?" We should note this morning that hope is not the same thing as optimism. Optimism is based on circumstances. There may be very good reasons for people to be optimistic about something. I was listening to the news not long ago, and a business leader, was asked if he had any hope, and he said yes, he had hope because the stock market was still up. I don't know how accurate an indicator of hope there that might be, but hope is not based on outward circumstances, because hope is not the same thing as being optimistic. Hope is what you have when you don't have any reason to be optimistic. Hope is what you have when everything turns dark and bleak. Hope is what you have when all the outward observable indicators would seem to suggest that there's nothing positive coming around the bend. In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul alludes that you and I are called to be people of hope, even when everything seems bleak, even when everything seems dark, that we are called to be people of hope in the midst even of suffering. That's the message of Paul is trying to depart to the small Christian community in Rome. It's a small Christian community, about 100 people or so. They're living in the imperial city itself. They're living right under the nose of the Roman emperor, and they're undergoing some kind of suffering for not worshiping the gods of Rome, particularly the imperial cult of the Caesar, and so they're undergoing various degrees of suffering. But Paul wants them to see that even in their suffering, that there is hope. Suffering produces endurance, he says, and endurance produces character, and character produces, he says, hope. I should say that most people in Paul's day probably would have agreed what Paul was saying here, at least up to a certain point. They would agree that suffering produces patience and endurance, and they would agree that patience produces character. And we all know what character is. Character is those essential traits that come to define who we are. Years and years ago, when I was a young soldier stationed in Germany, we would be training out in the field, usually in the winter, and it would be cold and miserable, and all kind of things would go wrong, and we would start complaining to our NCOs about all the things that would go wrong, and our sergeant would always say, "Good training builds character." And what he meant was that we were being slowly turned into the kind of people who could endure hardship. Because being a good soldier means being able to operate even in the midst of hardship. So good training, he says, builds character. Perhaps we've all known of people who've never experienced any real hardship. They've never experienced any real struggle or any real suffering. They've been given everything, and it has produced in them a certain kind of character, or perhaps we should say more accurately, a lack of character. They don't have any patience. They don't have any empathy for others. They don't care how they hurt other people. They'll say anything, do anything in order to get what they want. The only thing that matters for them is winning. They don't have any character. David Brooks, in his little book, The Road to Character, notes how the character of our whole nation has shifted dramatically since World War II. He claims that the characteristic traits of the country at that time was one of humility and self-effacement, even in the wake of a great military victory. He talks about listening to a radio program that was aired right after VJ Day with many of the big names of the era, including Bing Crosby and many others. But the overall mood of the program was not one of chest beating or triumphalism, but it was one of humility and self-effacement. But he says that today, the characteristic traits of the country can be best described by watching a professional football game or a professional basketball game, where every touchdown and every dunk is the occasion for someone to engage in chest beating or humiliating the opponent. The only thing that matters is winning. The only thing that matters is the furtherance of the self and having people to look upon the self and projecting the self forward. But Paul says that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And I think that most people, upon reflection, would probably agree with that, that suffering produces character, that hardship produces a little bit of character. What they would not have agreed with, I think, is what Paul says next, when Paul says that character produces hope. Many people in Paul's day would have been familiar with the Greek tragedies. And the tragedies were stories of people with strong moral character, heroes we might call them today. They were people of strong moral character, but their character didn't necessarily produce hope. Instead, it was often the opposite. Often they suffered because of their character. In many instances, their strong character led to their demise. So people would have thought that character certainly was a good thing, but they would have said, where's the hope? It doesn't necessarily produce hope. I think that's true today as well. You know, you see people of strong moral character, people who are willing to put their lives on the line, people who are willing to put their comfort on the line to do what's right, people who are willing to go out of their way to do justice, people who are willing to go out of their way to help those who are ground under by life, but they are often ridiculed and derided and shut down and sometimes even killed because of their character. I was following that little flotilla that was floating out to the Middle East, that little flotilla that was seeking to bring food and much needed supplies to the people of Gaza, who are now besieged and many of them starving. And it had that young girl, Greta Thunberg, I think her name is, a person of strong character, was concerned about what was going to happen to her, and the flotilla was intercepted and she herself and others were taken prisoner and later let go. But that's what happens in the world. Just because you have moral character doesn't mean that there's any hope. Where's the hope? Where's the hope in our world? Where's the hope today? You and I know where the hope is. The hope, our hope, the hope for the whole world is the hope that doesn't come from ourselves, but it's a hope that comes from above. It's a hope that comes from God, a God who has all of our lives in God's hands. It's the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has already overcome the world. That's where our hope is. It's the hope that gets us going every day. It's the hope that keeps us at our task of doing what we know that God has called us to do. It's the hope that brings us here every Sunday morning, even on a morning like this, a rainy, dreary morning. It's the hope that gathers us here when the rest of the world thinks that what we are doing is ridiculous. We've had occasion before to be reminded of W.T. Watts' little painting of a woman sitting atop the world, and she's playing an instrument, a lyre of some kind, and all the strings have come unraveled except one string, and yet she's clutching that instrument and she's playing that instrument. And the name of the painting is called Hope. And that's who you and I are called to be. We are called to be people of hope. Several years ago, there was a presidential campaign that had as its basic theme hope. I can still remember the signs that were placed all over the place, signs placed in people's yards about hope, and people got excited about the campaign, especially people who have traditionally been left out or people who thought of themselves as being marginalized and left out. They had hope in that campaign and hope in the subsequent presidency. But it was a hope that eventually disappointed, as all worldly hopes are wont to do. All worldly hopes are eventually become disappointments sooner or later. But Paul says that the hope that we have does not disappoint, because the hope that we have is the hope that comes from God. It comes from a God that has already poured his love into our hearts by way of the Holy Spirit. And because God has already poured God's love into our hearts, that hope does not disappoint. It continues to be a hope that sustains us. For some people, hope comes from the show of strength. Hope comes from intimidating others. Hope comes from showing people how tough you can be. Hope comes from being able to get whatever you want when you want it. Hope comes from demoralizing your enemies. It comes from brutalizing other people. That's what hope is for many people. But you and I are gathered here this morning because we know that hope comes from someplace else. That hope is not about dominating people, but hope is about us loving people, loving God and loving each other and loving the world. And we are reminded this morning that that love has already been placed within all of our hearts. Whenever we believe deeply and hope intensely, it's bound to be contagious to others around us, and that's what we are called to be, as people of hope. I'll close this morning with a quote from Frederick Buechner. He writes, "Our hope is ultimately hope in Christ, the hope that he really is what for centuries we have been claiming he is. the hope that despite the fact that sin and debt still rule in the world, he somehow conquered them. The hope that in him and through him, all of us stand a chance of somehow conquering them too. The hope that at some unforeseeable time and in some unimaginable way, he will return with healing in his wings. That's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for God in Christ to return with healing in his wings. Healing for all of us. Healing for our nation that is so divided. Healing for a world that seems intent on destroying itself. Healing in God's wings for you and me and for the whole world. That, friends, is hope. That's the hope that you and I are waiting for. Let us pray. Gracious God, we hear it all the time. Where's the hope? Where's the hope when children in Gaza are brutally killed, and where people are clamoring just to get enough to eat? Where's the hope when millions of people around the world go hungry, but we have no problem producing bombs, billions of dollars of bombs and armaments to be used against people? Where's the hope when we seem so divided in so many ways? Where's the hope in the midst of war and rumors of war? Where's the hope when our leaders seem more intent upon dividing us rather than healing us? Where's the hope when we seem intent on being mean-spirited towards people who are different from us and towards people who come from other places? You have reminded us where the hope comes from. The hope comes from you, the God who is calling us with open arms. The God who calls us to come home to yourself. The God who has poured your love into our hearts. You have called us not only to look for the hope in you, but you have called us to be the hope in the midst of the world. Help us to be that hope and to believe in that hope as we seek to be your faithful servants in the midst of this world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the true Lord and Savior of the whole world. Amen.